When does it come back? The 30th?
The league, yeah, 2 weeks. Oh, no, 2 weeks and 2 days.
2 weeks on Thursday. Okay, well, it'll be... I'm going to release on Thursday, so it'll be 2 weeks exactly.
Man, they better televise these scrimmages.
When do scrimmages start? Next week?
I think so.
It's NBA scrimmage TV schedule. Okay. Yeah, there is.
NBA TV?
I'm trying to load it. Fuck. Dead
air. The only news that I saw was Orlando was going to be televising their games, and that was it.
Oh, yeah. I think that's what I'm also seeing.
I'm watching it. I don't care who they're playing. Give me some Kem Birch, baby.
Some Mo Bamba.
DJ Augustine.
Yo, Mo Bamba's a snitch. I'm out on that guy.
Oh, but he's gained 25 pounds of muscle in 2 months. That's totally possible.
Yeah, but he tried to snitch out Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, that's funny.
Bitch ass. Yeah, I guess these games may not be aired. That's lame.
Not yet. They're going to find a way to do some of them at least.
Yeah, why would they not?
Probably because they're like very unofficial, and like I'm not sure how much they're going to censor it and where the like it might be in a hotel lobby, or not lobby, but a conference room.
The lobby. There's going to be like kids walking through and shit.
Yeah, you see players dribbling around the staff.
What's up, everybody? And welcome back to the Stretch 4 podcast. I'm your host, Peter Tran. On the line, I got my Phase 3 pick and pop partner, Josh Cohen. How you doing?
I'm staying out of indoor spaces with 100 people or 50 people, wherever the hell it is right now. I'm just not going to any restaurants right now.
You don't want to go to a basketball game?
I mean, I would definitely go into the bubble if they asked me to.
My man. Banger in the paint. Is Quebec in Phase 3 yet? Are you guys good to go, Rajan?
I think we're in Phase 100. Like, soon as the lockdown was lifted, everything opened up here. But you know what? Speaking of bubble, I'm trying to apply to Woj's job right now. Trying to find that job description and on Indeed.
Hashtag free Woj.
Yo, let's touch on that quickly before we get going with all this. How long do you think Woj is actually suspended for? The rumors are 2 weeks, right? There's been no official word from ESPN on his, his discipline or anything. Woj, of all people, how long can you keep this guy out?
I want to know how it works, though. Like, have they suspended his Twitter account, too? Because you know he must be having, like, serious withdrawals, not being able to tweet out all these different, news nuggets and information. So is he, like, trying to tweet right now? He's just not allowed to? And he's like, ah, f***. Just, like, beating things up in his house. I mean, this is, like, the longest it's been since he's probably tweeted, right? So... must be killing him. He's probably I had it before Shams, but I couldn't press enter. God damn it.
It goes straight to his drafts. Like, when he comes back, there's going to be, 190 tweets.
Yeah, it's going to be a flood.
I mean, that's sort of the same thing that happened to Bill Simmons. Like, what was it, 7 years ago when Grantland got shut down? They must have suspended his Twitter, too.
Yeah, I think he went dark for a little while.
Yeah, it was, a couple of weeks. It wasn't just a little while, man. Simmons had to... he was out for, a month at least before he was able to do anything again. So, I mean, I'm sure they can shut down Shams, but you're shutting down a guy who you paid millions of dollars to come in and who you eliminated, half the NBA staff for this one dude. How long can you really suspend him for, you know?
I think he's going to be suspended until the start of the scrimmages. That's my guess.
Wow. What if they brought him back just for that? They didn't even make him quarantine when he gets to Orlando.
I don't think he's going to Orlando.
That's what they say, Josh. You can't trust them.
Yeah, then again, we have no idea who else, who's actually in Orlando right now based on, reports about the Nuggets, so.
Nobody. I got Jamal Murray there. That's it. That's a whole team.
Yeah, basically.
Good luck, Denver. You got Jamal Murray and Bol Bol.
They keep reporting that the Nuggets keep having practices. It's like, oh yeah, Jamal's in a, he's in a gym all by himself shooting layups.
I saw a tweet that said Monte Morris might be joining the team next week, and I was like, huh. What the hell? How did no one report that this dude was never there? Like, who the hell is there anymore?
Yeah, and Michael Porter Jr. and Gary Harris, too.
Yeah. What am I going to do with this team?
You would think in 2020, all these cameras that are catching these guys come off the bus would notice that there's only like five players in the Nuggets coming off the bus.
Well, that's the problem. There's no cameras there.
There was camera work when the Raptors arrived.
Yeah, by their own team, though. That's their own PR team, right? To take pictures of the buses and stuff. But it's not external reporters. And also, no one's big enough to like follow the Nuggets as an external reporter. Mark Stein isn't like, oh, I need to go follow Jamal Murray around. Come on.
How dare you blast Jokic.
The most interesting team right now.
Ugh, man. Speaking of players who aren't there, guys, we got another superstar that caught the COVID. Can we believe it? Russell Westbrook. Spending too much time out there in these mean streets of Houston, man. He's gone. Not there. Hasn't arrived. James Harden still not in Houston either. Says he's feeling perfectly fine, quote unquote. And another Rockets player, Luke Mbamute, who they just recently signed. I mean, they're missing three guys for their scrimmages. Probably kind of a big deal considering you have two former MVPs, right, Raj?
Yeah, I think Houston, like, it's kind of surprising that their players haven't even all been in the bubble yet. And obviously with Westbrook getting the virus, he's going to have to quarantine probably for 10 to 14 days. Then he's going to have to go to Orlando, quarantine there for at least 2 or 3 days, and then he's gonna have pretty much no time before the regular season starts. They're gonna miss him, but I think the real story here is, what does Harden do? Like, is he gonna go hang out with Westbrook or try to travel with him when Westbrook's healthy to go to the bubble and enjoy his time in Houston? If we all know what I meant when I said that.
Yeah, I think everyone's making that joke right now that the only reason why Harden isn't there is he's trying to get his last few lap dances in right now. But who knows if that's actually the case or if he actually has the COVID.
That's what Kawhi did the first weekend, right?
Yeah, it's true. But Kawhi arrived a couple of days ago and he's having a good time with the reporters. I'm not sure if you guys saw those videos, but the reporters were having a hard time asking him questions. And it came out as like robot voices and Kawhi actually cracked a smile. So that's fun to watch.
He's like, yeah, see, everybody malfunctions. It's not just me.
Exactly. You do realize now how I talk in real life.
And have fun with it. Aha, ha, ha, ha.
Yeah! But yeah, I mean, with regards to Westbrook, you know, obviously, hopefully he's okay, and it's not going to affect him when he gets into the bubble and he's able to practice and able to actually play in the games, because, you know, he's full steam ahead 24/7 when he plays, you know, in any competitive environment. So if this slows him down regarding his breathing or lung capacity, then obviously Houston's going to be a lot of trouble, and hopefully it doesn't affect the rest of his career, but hopefully he's going to be okay after this.
Is there any other reason other than wanting to have fun in Houston that James Harden would be waiting to join Russell Westbrook? Like, these guys are getting private charter flights to Orlando, right? It's not like they're flying on like generic American Airlines flight. So why the hell isn't he going first? Like, why is he waiting? Do they live together or something? Like, does he have to hold his hand? Does he have to help him pack his shit? What the hell? It's so weird, right?
Yeah, there's no real reason why the Rockets aren't there. Like, we all joke about the Nuggets, but they actually have a good reason with their whole team pretty much being COVID positive or being at risk for being COVID positive that they wouldn't be there. But Houston up until now was in the clear, and they obviously have one of the coaches who might be susceptible or be the most susceptible now, and honestly, I have no idea where Harden's head's at, but I think he might be one of those players that thinks he's too good for the bubble and that he's enjoying his last 10 days of freedom before he's in luxury jail.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, he's a superstar player, obviously, so he can do whatever he wants, and I think he's taking advantage of the situation, or it's the opposite to where he actually has COVID, so I'm sure we'll find out in the upcoming days.
He says he feels great, Josh. He feels perfectly healthy.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
That's what they all say these days. You know who's not perfectly healthy? Josh, your favorite point guard on the Los Angeles Lakers, Rajon Rondo, out 6 to 8 weeks with a fractured hand. This guy cannot catch a break, man. I'm pretty sure this guy's hand has been fractured like 4 times in the past 2 years. It's always a hand injury with Rondo, and I mean, after Avery Bradley, it's kind of a big loss. 2 months is a long time for this team, considering like the timeline that we're working with, essentially, right? Like, if he has to go the full 8 weeks, you're looking at semifinals of the playoffs? That's not very much time to get you back into shape. And then on top of that, that means your team has to literally run with Dion Waiters and J.R. Smith at the same time on the floor. to run your backcourt instead of having anyone else. Josh, are we expecting to see a lot more LeBron at point now? Because what else are they going to do at this point?
Play Alex Caruso more. That's what they're going to do.
Really? Come on, man. You think they're going to play Caruso for over that? Over Deion and J.R. Smith, my boys?
When Caruso plays, the lineups that he's in are, like, exceptional. And he plays really good defense. So, honestly, when I heard this news, I thought that it actually, like, helped the Lakers overall. Because I think, as most Lakers fans will attest to, they just hate Rondo. And every single time he comes in the game, he either messes up an assignment or he's just holding the ball too long. It's not the same Rondo that we saw, you know, years ago, obviously. And, you know, come playoff time, you can definitely argue that his experience will come in handy. And if the Lakers, you know, have to go down to actually playing guys like Deion Waiters and J.R. Smith, they're going to be in trouble. They're super thin. Yes, that's very true. And I don't know. I mean, I think this is a good thing overall for them overall in terms of, like, their lineup constructions and playing Caruso more.
Yeah, I'm going to actually say the whole experience thing actually matters in a weird regular season and condensed playoffs where having Rondo's leadership. Rondo's actually been a pretty good playoff performer when he's been healthy. And again, the Lakers' main issue going into the season was who was going to be the ball handler. And obviously, Rondo was going to be coming off the bench and LeBron would take more of that point guard role. And you're just getting thinner at a position where you didn't have a lot of depth to begin with. I look at LeBron, it's going to be LeBron and Quinn Cook really running the point. And Quinn Cook's probably going to play, jump from like 3 minutes a game to like eight. And then you're going to rely on Waiters and JR who haven't had much game time this season. So I think the Lakers lose in the situation. Even if Rondo played 10 to 15 minutes a game in the playoffs, I think he was valuable and he's able to run the point, which the Lakers need some help.
Quinn Cook, just the 2020 version of Booby Gibson at this point. No, nobody? Nobody?
Yeah, just, yeah, I would say Quinn Cook's actually, like, obviously he's played on the Warriors and he had a lot of open shots to shoot, but he's played his role and his role is never going to be more than 5 to 10 minutes a game, but I think he can give you enough of a boost. But it would have been nice to have Rondo for another 10 to 15 to give LeBron those 2 minute rests at the end of each quarter.
Losing Rondo is big, no matter what you want to say about how detrimental he is to, you know, allowing Caruso more playing time or LeBron more time to handle the ball. You still lose out on a veteran player who's one of the smarter players in the league, right? Like, he may be an asshole and he may be annoying to have as a teammate, but his basketball IQ is through the charts. That's why LeBron wanted him, right? That's why he did so well with, DeMarcus Cousins in Sacramento. It's the IQ that really connects with certain types of players, and it seems like LeBron really liked him. So it's kind of a big loss. I understand what you're saying, Josh, and that, you know, he's not as skilled as you would like him to be, but he is what he is. He's still a decent defender.
He just doesn't fit. No, he's not a good defender. What are you talking about? Caruso's a way better defender than Rondo is, and he stays out of the way, too. I think that's the biggest problem with Rondo is when he gets on the court, if he's not the lead ball handler, which he's not very good at anymore in the first place in terms of creating offense, then he's a liability because teams are just going to play off him because he has a very, you know, slow shot release. He doesn't like taking three-pointers. And he's not really good off the ball in terms of, like, you know, catching and going. He just sort of resets the offense and runs down the clock. So overall, I don't think he's ever been a good fit with LeBron, first of all. And, you know, I know LeBron likes him and everything. But again, just because LeBron likes you doesn't mean that he's going to be a good fit in that lineup.
I think it does. Because LeBron makes everyone who he likes a good fit.
Shooters, sure. Not Rondo, though.
I don't know, man. LeBron makes everyone work around him. That's like the allure of having LeBron on your team. Is that you may not fit traditionally with him, but somehow he makes it work. And Rondo's still good defensively. I don't know what you're talking about.
And historically in the playoffs, he's been good.
No, he's not. He gets blown by everybody. He's garbage.
Nah, man. He's smart enough to push the defense where it needs to go. It's not his fault. He has AD anchoring his defense. Sorry. Come on.
Wait, you saying AD's not a good defensive player?
No, I'm saying that he just pushes guys to AD. You said they blow by
that
him.
That doesn't mean he's good on defense.
You said, okay, fine, blow by me. You can have Anthony Davis and Dwight Howard waiting for you at the rim. Feel free.
Yeah, I don't see it. Rondo's never been a good fit. Ask any of your Laker friends what they think about Rajon Rondo. They'll agree with me.
Yeah, but they just don't like him because he's a former Celtic.
They don't like him because he sucks. He's terrible. He's a bad player now.
Yeah. Okay, Josh, when did we start listening to Lakers fans?
I'm not listening to Lakers. I'm just going by what I've seen. But, you know, you see the talk online, they all say the same thing. They're like, we should not be playing this guy. Caruso's better.
Yeah, it's because they love Caruso.
Caruso's good, man.
I'm not counting Lakers' loyalty for anything here, okay? You know better.
Caruso's a solid player. You're disrespecting him.
He is a solid player, but it doesn't mean that Rondo doesn't deserve like 10 minutes a game. You're making him seem like he's like a G Leaguer. Get out of here.
At this point, come playoff time, he would be.
Get out of here, man. The disrespect is so real right now.
Ask Rick Carlisle what he thinks of him.
Ask Doc Rivers what he thinks of him. We can go on forever, man.
Let's listen to Doc Rivers and that nasally voice of his.
Yeah. You know who we don't want to listen to is Kendrick Perkins. All right, let's move on. We got news that Victor Oladipo seems like he wants to play again. Raj, remember a couple of weeks ago when we were saying that Oladipo was going to travel to Orlando but just sit out? Somehow thought that, I guess he thought he was going to get paid his millions of dollars for sitting out and practicing with the team. He would get to go through scrimmages. He would get rehabbed while he was there, but does not have to play. Not to perform when you actually need to perform. Now he's, you know, kind of pulling back on that. He said he's going to evaluate every week, see how he feels. My man is going to have to play to get paid. It's as simple as that. There's no way he's going to surrender like a few million bucks for 8 games of play. You know what I mean? At least step on the floor. Make some moves out there.
Yeah, and I think him not playing is going to hurt his value in the long run. And he's had that big injury the year prior, and he was able to rehab this year and didn't get too many games. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think he played in less than 10 games, and then the season got shut down. And I think with Oladipo, he's doing kind of the classic, put the carrot in front of the horse and take it like that, and he will evaluate. I'm still skeptical that he plays all 8 regular season games and Indiana's going to be a playoff team. But I think with him, he's also probably getting a bit of that, I'm going to the party and I'm not going to drink. And then you see all your boys having a good time and you're like, fuck, I need to join in on that. And I know we're going to talk about NBA bubble life, but he's probably seeing all his peers, some of his probably old teammates of OKC, all his friends practicing, and he's not involved in that. And he probably misses it a lot. And he knows that this is his livelihood. So wouldn't be surprised if he plays in a few games. I doubt he plays in all 8 and deep into the playoffs.
I think the matter is, does he play in one game, right? Because, you know, Brian Windhorst came out with an article today explaining the whole situation, and I'll just take an excerpt out of it. So basically what's holding him back from getting paid, despite him not playing, would be the league. It's not the Pacers, because the Pacers have already said that they support his decision to sit out, and they're willing to pay him his salary, whether he plays or not. So the league is trying to set a precedent, essentially, by saying that if you do indeed sit out and you don't really have an injury as to why you're sitting out, or a reason, like Bradley Beal, for example, who they say that has a shoulder injury, but who knows if that's the case, but the team says that, so therefore he's allowed to sit out and still get paid. So the excerpt is, the league, largely in an effort to set a precedent in case other players who are deemed healthy want to leave Orlando and no longer play, believe Oladipo has opted out and should not be paid, sources said. His public comments about feeling healthy has only solidified the league's position on the matter. So the league could essentially take this to court, I guess, and be like, you know, this is our position, you broke the rules, and we're not going to pay you. So I think that's the main reason why he's looking at actually playing now.
Yeah, I mean, he could also surrender his money like Davis Bertans did, right? Where he's actively choosing to sit out.
No, but in that case, like, the team doesn't want to pay Bertans, right? But Indiana's already said they want to pay Oladipo no matter what he does. That's the main difference here.
But the way the money is split up is that it's not just Indiana that pays him, right? It's also the league that pays him, too. So that's why they have such an impact. Yeah, $2.7 million, man. You got to at least play like a game or two to get your money's worth. And then once you play, I mean, the coaches can also just choose not to play you. It's pretty simple.
Yeah, like you just suit up.
Yeah, exactly. Suit up and then you just chill. Play maybe 5-10 minutes, go through the warm-ups. And it's not like it's bad for you to stretch out every game or before every game and after and, you know, go through all that process. It'll be difficult for you mentally because once you're going through that, you sort of prepare your mind and your body to go through the action of playing the game. But if you don't want to play, there are easily ways around it.
Yeah, and I think if he wants to get his value up, I think playing and playing well and possibly getting a max contract after this would be the route to go, because I don't think he's going to get a max unless he does play and play well in these in this restart.
Is next year his contract year, not this year?
Yeah, I think it's the year after, but he's eligible for an extension.
Yo, have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? When I was trying to get this podcast off the ground, I had a lot of questions. How do I record an episode? How do I get my show onto all the apps that people like to listen to? How do you make money? The answer was pretty simple for me. I started using Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. And best of all, it's 100% free and super easy to use. And now, Anchor can match you with great sponsors who want to advertise in your podcast. So that means you can get paid immediately, like right away. In fact, that's what I'm doing right now by reading you this ad. It's super simple. So if you always wanted to start a podcast, let's start now. Go to anchor.fm/start to join me and the diverse community of producers using Anchor. Again, that's anchor.fm/start. See you soon.
Oh, okay. You gotta work your way around it. You guys saw the Shams tweet, didn't you? I see everybody looking at their phones. Look at that.
Yeah, got the notification.
Harrison Barnes tests positive for COVID. And I guess that's another guy that's not with this team that we didn't know about. Man, we need something to like just tell us who's there and who's not. Where are these reporters at? Where's Chris Haynes? Come on, man.
I think that's the issue, because the reporters are like stuck in certain areas and they can't always be around the players. So it's impossible to really tell who's there and who's not.
It sounds like the reporters also have to go through more of a quarantine than the players do, right? Because I was listening to Malika Andrews on one of her, like, you know, 80 podcast appearances that she's been on. And she was saying that they have to go through 7 days of quarantine before they can interact with people. Whereas the players have to do 48 hours and then they're out and about.
Yeah, I think it's because of the amount of tests that they get beforehand. I think the players get tested like multiple times in a specific timeline. Whereas the reporters, I think it's basically up to them at that point, you know, to get tested. But it's not like a scheduled thing like with the players.
So you mean like when they were back in their home market?
Yeah, exactly. So the players get tested a few times before they actually get on the plane. And then once they get there, they only have the 2-day quarantine because they get tested a few times before that. And then once the 2 days are over, then they just get tested daily.
Oh, okay. Whereas the reporters, yeah, I guess they're just doing their own thing until they get there. Kind of different, but it's kind of a hassle, I guess. I mean, I want to see which reporters also go. Apparently it costs like a couple of $100 to even be there as a reporter.
I think it costs like thousands to be there as a reporter, because you got to pay for all the meals, all the rooms and everything. And
sign me up.
It's pretty costly.
Raj, sign me up.
Take out that Visa card, man. Swipe real quick.
Yeah, just put it on credit right now and I'll figure it out later.
Oh, man. This.
I'm sort of surprised, though, hearing about the reporters being able to get close to the players when they're eating and, you know, playing ping pong or whatever. I thought like it was going to be a, you know, quarantine type of situation where the players are in their own little area and the reporters just can't access that area. But based on, you know, you talk about Malika Andrews, she said that she went to, you know, the same restaurant that a lot of players like, one of the Mexican restaurants that opens up at 5 o'clock, apparently, that the players are angry about because they want to get food before their practice and can't do so. But she was saying that she was able to talk to players there. And I'm just like, based on what I heard before the bubble started, I thought the reporters couldn't even get near the players.
I think the whole purpose of that is, like, if you're in the bubble, you're supposed to be tested regularly and you're supposed to have negative tests. So your interactions with masks should be okay. And I think that's a bit too restrictive. If you're not letting people talk to other people on the outside, then you're really, like, putting them in a jail-like setting. But speaking of the bubble, it honestly looks like NBA met college and they're living on residence. And it's pretty much like an all athletes type of college there, and I bet you they're actually having a good time, especially the younger players. They get to see and bond with their teammates. A bunch of players have their own like PS4s, Xboxes, and their own setups, and
they get honestly, to learn how to fish.
Yeah, fishing's like the big thing.
Yeah, apparently fishing and hacky sack toss or whatever that game is called. Those are the best activities at NBA bubble life. How pleasant. I mean, I wouldn't mind it. It seems like a big AAU tournament, right? Where everyone's just around, except you get per diem.
Yeah.
It's better than AAU. You're not eating like McDonald's every day or pizza every day. You're getting real meals and you get paid.
And you get paid.
Yeah. It's not a bad deal at all. And it doesn't seem like they have much interaction with Disney staff either, right? I mean, that was one of the worries that people had initially was, you know, if one of the staff members has COVID and then somehow it spreads into the bubble. So far, we haven't seen much interaction with staff. It's more just people doing the tests. Food has all been delivered and left at people's doors or in the restaurants. So there's like a degree of separation. So very little, like the most interaction I saw was Dwight Howard alone at a DJ set by the pool trying to get a single drink. Good old single-ass, lonely-ass Dwight Howard out there, but that's it. That's all I got.
You know,
right?
Who Ian...
I mean, in terms of the reporting on the staff from Disney, the only things that I've heard on podcasts are, you know, when you're walking down a certain walkway or trying to get from, like, one area of the resort to another, that, you know, Disney Resort staff just clear the lane for you, sort of like Rajon Rondo guarding anybody on the court.
You're not going to let that go in?
It's the truth. He sucks. Come on, man. Accept it. He's washed up.
Jesus. All right, whatever. Can we talk about Rashawn Holmes apparently breaking his quarantine to get his DoorDash meal delivered or whatever, Postmates or whatever it was, and then getting suspended by, or, you know, what is it? What was the word I'm thinking of? Quarantined for another 8 days on top of it, just in case?
10 days.
So we're... How much?
10 days. He already has spent 2 days quarantined.
So we're looking at Rashawn Holmes and Bruno Caboclo as the first two infractions on the quarantine life.
Which one is worse?
Yeah, so the story behind Bruno is that he just didn't know what he was doing, straight up. The story behind Rashawn Holmes is Kelly Oubre tweeted that he could have, or that players in general could have DoorDash or Postmates or whatever sent to them. And all they got to do is go to security and pick it up. And, I don't know, man. Kelly Oubre seems like a big snitch right now. We're not snitch. I should say he's a great setup, man. If he can just keep doing this to suspend guys randomly throughout the season or throughout this tournament bubble thing that they've got going, that would have been a better play. I would have held out for another like 10 games or 10 days before I said anything.
Yeah, Kelly Oubre is going to lead the Suns to the finals.
Yeah, he's playing the long game here. He's trying to eliminate Sacramento, Memphis. Like, he's pulling the strings here.
I feel like now that nobody trusts Oubre, he's going to pass on his knowledge to another one of his teammates. And then they're going to tweet out the next thing recommending, you know, players do X and, you know, get what they need to get by going outside the bubble and getting, you know, quarantined. They're just going to take out, like, opposition players bit by bit as they start the restart on July 30th. So if they're playing, like, the Kings or something, you're going to see, like, De'Aaron Fox, like, meandering around at 3 in the morning. Outside the bubble, and going into quarantine a day later because, like, Mikal Bridges told him to.
Damn. I was going to say, so you're expecting Ricky Rubio to tell somebody to bring a girl in before quarantine is over?
Actually, yeah, I'm not even sure why I brought up Mikal Bridges. Like, Rubio seems like the most trustworthy person in the league. Yeah. Seems like the nicest guy. Change your face.
Alexi, change his face. Be happy. Enjoy it.
Come on, man. That's what you get in the bubble. You get to be happy. Josh, I'm sure you've heard these talks, but it looks like Shake Milton is starting as point guard for these Philadelphia 76ers.
I like it. I love it.
Scrimmages.
Go Sixers.
Oh,
doubling
my.
Down. Go Sixers. The Sixers are going to win. They're only going to lose about, let's say, 4 games in the playoffs now that they've made this change.
Wow. So you really like Shake Milton?
Shake Milton's good, man. Remember that game he had against the Clippers where he was like the last guy left in their lineup because they had so many injuries and he hit like 7 threes and had 37 points, led the 76ers to overtime. I think they lost that game, but he was amazing in that game. So having another weapon like that in the starting lineup, a guy that can actually shoot, which, you know, Philadelphia's had some problems with spot-up shooting and just being able to space the court for Simmons and Embiid, so... I like how they develop him. Like, that's one of the good things that come out of their season, even though everyone's completely shitted on them the entire year for not being able to construct lineups that sort of work. I think they sort of found something as the season went along, and now they're healthy. Like, their entire roster's healthy, and I think they look pretty deep right now. And having Horford off the bench, I think, is a good option.
Raj, do you think Horford is happy off the bench?
Well,
seems like a little much for a guy who's been in the league for like 10 or 15 years at this point.
I just
want
to point out, I don't think Horford's going to be on the bench a lot come playoff time. I think they'll adjust their lineup, especially if they're playing Milwaukee or a team with like a really powerful power forward type. I think he'll still start. But if they're going against like a small ball type team, him playing 25 to 30 minutes off the bench is not a bad thing.
Yeah, I just think the whole Ben Simmons experiment at the four, what they're trying him out as it, I'm not saying it's not going to work. I just don't have a lot of confidence because I haven't seen it. And especially with Ben Simmons and Embiid at the five, you have Tobias at the three, Josh Richardson at the two. I feel like you're still clogging up the lane, and it always comes down to Embiid and Simmons both wanting to play deep in the post or catch it deep in the post and get their baskets there. So the only real 76ers talk I want to do is about Matias Thybul and his vlog, because I think that's like premier TV right now. I need like a daily subscription every night, 2 hours of just like good content, and Netflix should jump on that if they were all about the business.
Yeah, he should just live stream his like dinner with Tobias Harris and the rest of the guys instead of just showing like 2 minute clips.
Nah, man. The beauty of it is the editing that he's put into it. Because with the vlogs, you can't just have someone streaming their whole day. It actually gets really boring. Like, you don't want all of that. He's literally taking out the highlights and sending them to us. That's the better part.
He could make it 20 minutes instead of 10, though.
Yeah, he could. But, my man is a rookie in the NBA, okay? I think he's got other things to do than to edit goddamn videos all day for us. Yeah,
bring Chick-fil-A on the plane.
But you stole the words exactly. Right out of my mouth.
So he's got to go fishing. Come on, man. Can't expect him to sit behind his computer all day. He's not us. He's not a blog boy.
He is now.
Nah, man, he's a legit blog boy, though. There's a difference.
Yeah, but like he could be starting off his second career, even though he's like, what, a second-year player?
He's a rookie.
Oh, he's a rook, yeah. Oh, my God. The season's been too long. But he could literally be a vlogger. He can have a little segment on ESPN next year if he continues this, because I think, what, he has like 600,000 views on his first video. And if he continues, he's definitely going to be in the millions.
Just another reason why the 76ers are going to win the championship.
I don't know, man. Because if you take that team into crunch time, which is obviously the more important part of all this, you're still running out the same lineup, right? Unless you're going to sit Horford down the stretch for Shake Milton, which is a wild thing to say. You know what I mean? Because you still want Horford's defense no matter what. So say you're playing against a team like, realistically, it'll be a team like Milwaukee or Toronto. Going down the stretch, you want Milton in there?
No, I think at that point, it's all matchup-based. Depends who's playing the four. And honestly, Horford's probably going to play regardless, which is fine because you're going to have a very physical game at that point. You're not going to be calling as many fouls. So having those two big guys defending the paint will be one of the better defenses, if not the best defense in the playoffs.
Would you start Ben Simmons at the four against Toronto?
Yeah, probably. Have him matched up against Siakam. I mean, yeah. Ben Simmons was actually like legitimately great against Kawhi in last year's playoffs. Like, he was the only guy that gave Kawhi problems, and Kawhi was just hitting like ridiculous shots throughout the entire series. I don't know how he had his shooting splits throughout the first like six games. I think he was like 54, 42, and like 92 or something like that. And he was making like
stupidly
insane
high
shots. Like, we were lucky to beat Philadelphia last year.
It's off to Leonard, defended by Simmons. Is this the dagger? Series! Toronto has won!
You think you would have lost had the series been played over again?
Probably.
Yeah.
Their length gave us like a ton of problems, and I think that, you know, they don't have Jimmy Butler, obviously, anymore, but their lineup is solid. And I think come playoff time, when the pace slows down, that lineup with Horford is actually going to work.
Or J.J. Redick.
I do like Josh Richardson, though, so I don't think that's a big downgrade.
Who's going to have the ball going down the stretch? Like, who is your guy that, you know, it's like 3 minutes left in the fourth quarter, tight game, and you need a bucket?
I think for them, they can just choose whatever matchup is the weakest, because most teams don't have a lineup like the Raptors did last year. We don't really have any weak points. So you can just involve whichever man is coming up as a screener who's like, you know, the weak point of the other team's defense, whether he's too small or he's just not a good defensive player. Have him come up as a screener and then either have Tobias or, you know, Ben Simmons with the ball coming around the pick and then just you know, picking on that one guy. That's what, you know, the playoffs are anyway, right?
Yeah, I guess. Imagine like a screen and roll with Richardson and then Ben Simmons. Simmons basically playing the Draymond Green role at that point, right?
That's an upgrade, though, because he'd be much better playing that role than Draymond ever was. Draymond was great at it, so Ben Simmons can see the floor better than Draymond can.
Oof, the shots.
I think having Ben Simmons as a role guy is interesting. We haven't really seen that yet, so that'll be interesting to see.
We've seen him in the dunker spot.
That's different, though, as like a role guy doing like the short role and making a decision when you're playing 4-on-3. It's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, but I think Ben Simmons' best attribute is him on the break with the ball. And when you put him at the four, you're limiting that a little. Just because traditionally, like if they come out of the break, he's going to be coming deeper from his own defensive half, guarding a four. And so like you're not going to have him running on the break as much.
No, but you can still see the same thing with Draymond, right? Like he runs a break more so than Steph or anyone else on the Warriors do. But he's the decision maker, right? And it's not like he's a bad passer. So you may not need to be the first guy down the court. Doesn't mean you can't make those passes.
Yeah, but the issue with Draymond, though, is they don't respect his shot. And the difference, though, is Draymond at least tries to shoot it. Ben Simmons doesn't. So when you make him the decision maker and the decision is like shoot or pass or like am I going to pop out or am I going to roll to the rim? I think most players are going to be like, you know what? Don't let him roll to the rim. Let him catch it. And if he wants to shoot, let him shoot. And he hasn't historically shown that. So I can see the comparisons with Draymond in terms of like better decision maker, good variety of skills, not the best shooter, but makes his teammates better. I can see that, but he doesn't shoot.
The last thing I just want to point out in the Sixers is in their top five lineups in terms of, you know, the highest amount of minutes that they've played together, Joel Embiid's only in one of those, which is sort of odd because I don't think he's been injured that much this season. But
no, he hasn't.
Yeah, so I guess they've just been lowering his minutes overall. But in the most used lineup, which is their starting five, their net rating is 97 on defense. And overall, they're plus 8.5 overall. So even though I said, like, you know, their lineup hasn't been that great, it's actually been really good defensively. It's just offensively, it is, you know, sort of like a slog.
They must have had a lot of home games.
Yeah, probably.
All right, guys. I want to ask you, Raj, let's start with you first. There are a lot of guys who we've seen are still working out during the quarantine. A lot of guys are still getting to, you know, their gyms that nobody knows about or their... You know, these random workouts, man. Like the Lakers, we've seen it. We've all heard the stories that they've been pretty much training with each other this whole time. You got skinny Gasol out there. Jokic looks like he's a tennis player now. Carmelo Anthony has a new name. Skinny Melo is in the quarantine. Who are you expecting to show out with their new physique, if you will?
This one's a tough one, but one player who I think who's actually had a good transformation this year and especially during the lockdown, and I think is going to have really good results come regular season and playoff time, is Nikola Jokic. I think people have always said that he sometimes looks out of shape coming into the season. He's not as agile, and his game's not based off of agility, but having a little bit of a burst on his step or being able to move better on defense will help his team if they make it to the bubble. But I think Jokic is actually going to have the best results. And I think his transformation, just based off of what I've seen, is immense in the last 2 or 3 months. I think not having those 2 liters of Pepsi's really did a number on him.
I think the player transformation I'm most interested in is somebody that I think a lot of people have stopped talking about, and you know, a team that a lot of people have stopped talking about recently anyway, is Yusuf Nurkic with Portland. Just with him coming back from injury after, what has it been, like 10, 12 months now, just how he looks on the court and if he's been able to stay in shape during, you know, this quarantine period, if he's been able to, you know, become, you know, I guess skinny again, or just in shape overall, and just how he looks the first couple games of the restart in the regular season, because I think that's going to determine whether or not Portland actually is able to get in the playoffs, because if they have to play Hassan Whiteside in a lot of these games, play him like 30 minutes a game because Collins and Nurkic are not quite ready, I don't think they're going to be able to you know, get into that 4-game window where they get to play Memphis.
But that also means they got to run my boy Skinny Melo out there, Josh.
Yeah, and that also would not be a good thing for them defensively because they're playing against the better teams now, right? So they can't hide these guys. So you just need better overall players and better defensive players when you're playing, you know, the Lakers and Clippers and whoever else, Boston, more often. You don't have these cupcake games anymore.
I mean, you still got Phoenix and Sacramento. There's a little bit of cupcake going on.
There is, for sure. But at the same time, the majority of their games, I'm sure, are against, like, plus 500 teams, right? So you're still playing at least five of those eight games against, like, really good teams.
Yeah, it's going to be tough for Portland to use that to get into the playoffs. Raj, man, you don't think Jokic is a little too skinny right now? Because his game, a lot of his game is based on being a big dude that can push you around while also maneuvering around your body, right? But if he's totally skinny, like, the way he looks, I mean, who knows how skinny he really is. He can't just body people anymore.
Yeah, but I think a lot of the other players have slimmed down during quarantine. In Jokic's defense, I think he's most effective when he's more in shape. And his skill set's very good, and thank God quarantine didn't affect his height. Because a big, skilled man like him, it's very tough to stop. And yes, he might not be able to pound it as much, but I think he's just more effective as a player, both on the offensive and defensive side. If he's more mobile, if he's able to use his step a little more, and we might see a different game from him. So I'm excited to see him. I think he's the biggest name that's gone through a huge transformation, but there's a lot of players. Like Gasol looks incredibly skinny. Melo, we've obviously mentioned skinny Melo. I'm honestly a bit surprised that Kyle Lowry actually looks like he got a bit more lean.
How dare you, first of all. Second of all, how dare you?
Skinny Lowry is the thing, man. Skinny
Lowry makes his ass is just as fat so he can still be able to guard these like post-up behemoths.
Yeah, well, that's all you want out of Lowry. You want skinny everywhere else but the bum.
Yep. That gives him all big that booty. Lower body power.
All right, what's been your... Let's end with this. What's been your favorite part of watching NBA bubble life so far?
For me, it has to be the food. Because it looks like it's premier Lunchables. Like, it's like the best Lunchables you can get, but it's still Lunchables. And these players are probably used to going to, like, fancy-ass dinners where, like, each bill is like $500 per person, and one of the players picks up the bill, and now they're paying pretty much like $15 lunch, and the portions are probably a bit small, and some of these players are probably gonna be like, you know what, fuck this, we're gonna pull some homes and get some suspensions because we gotta eat.
I guess for me, it's seeing that Zion has turned into Bane. That
was a pretty cool photo.
Yeah, that's how jack he looks. Props to him.
Yeah, I mean, there's another guy who's transformed a lot, right? My favorite probably is Myers Leonard and JJ Redick trying to outbro each other with these beer shotgunning. Mainly, also, you know, like, why are you shotgunning beers? As if. But also, why are you picking, like, the worst beers to do it with? Coors Light and Bud Light. Ugh, guys, get it together.
I think they have some sponsorships.
They must, man. I think that's, like, the only thing available at Disney World.
Yeah, like, you're not seeing them down Hennessy.
That's for J.R. Smith.
Yeah, J.R. and probably
oh my god, let's get into that for a second. Like, J.R. Smith complaining about anything right now, I don't want to hear that.
Yo, you can't treat his body like a Chevy, he's a Ferrari. Oh my god.
Guy wasn't on a team for a year and a half and he's complaining about the bubble food. Like, get the fuck out of here.
But then be over there crying, talking about somebody can't stay healthy and their body breaking down and all this other shit. Just saying, bro. I'm just saying, you want a Ferrari to run like a Ferrari because you paid for it as a Ferrari, but you keep gassing it up with a Chrysler.
Hey, man. He knows what he wants. He's made a lot of money. He's a world champion, J.R. Smith.
He also made one of the worst mistakes in NBA Finals history.
Hey, he's also got an NBA championship, Josh. Can't take that away from the guy.
Yeah, LeBron gifted to him.
Hey, man, LeBron brought him back to the Lakers, too. That's perfect.
That's true.
Exactly.
I'm still shocked that Dion Waiters is on that team. That makes no sense to me.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about Dion Waiters anymore. I'm tired of it. The fact that we'll have to watch him is already, like, annoying enough, you know?
Yeah.
All right, you guys got anything else here?
We gonna bring up the snitch hotline now that it's been reported?
Oh, tell me about it.
All right, so Shams Charania just reported that there have been multiple tips that have been placed into the NBA's anonymous hotline to report protocol violations on campus, sources tell him and the Athletic, and some players have received warnings from violations. Sources said as the league ensures social distancing and mask protocols on campus. So I know we're all going to go to the Chris Paul thing now. Say that he's the one making all the phone calls. Go ahead.
Yeah, the joke is too easy. You know, do we really want to do that again?
I still think it's going to be like people from the Suns. I think that's their long game here, like we talked about before. I think Kelly Oubre is making the majority of the calls.
Devin Booker.
He's just committing the violations, though. That's the question.
I think these are all just like, we've seen some of them in like Matisse Thybulle's videos with the guys hanging out without masks on. I think it's that kind of thing. I think players are trying to, you know, try to ensure that some people are in quarantine come regular season time. Why not take any advantage you can get out of this? You should be playing the long game here.
Yeah, I was thinking more like Bobby and Toby reunions, you know? Like two best friends seeing each other at long last after months away from each other. Could be that. It could be something sweet like that.
Yeah, it's definitely possible. I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, by the end of July, he's sleeping in the same room as, you know, as Boban.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
They have a sleepover together.
Oh, man. Do you think that they had to get Boban a bigger bed? Because we've seen a lot of these rooms, right? Like, a lot of them look like they're two double beds, basically. But for a guy who's, like, 7'3", or however tall he is, might need a little bit more length than that.
I think that they replaced a lot of like the queen size beds, which is what you normally get when you go to a hotel, right? I think they replaced most of those with king size beds, and I think that probably would fit Boban. I don't think his legs would be hanging over top of the, you know, the back of the bed.
Nah, he's going diagonal.
Yeah, or that.
Yeah, diagonal is the key.
Yeah,
I think for any tall person, that Josh has never had to deal with these issues, Raj. That's the problem.
Mm-mm. I have a twin.
Twin, and he still goes straight. Man, this guy.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised if Boban, like, arranged for Al Jefferson's type of bed to be shipped over to the Disney. Have you guys ever seen that video with Al Jefferson in his bed? The bed is, yeah, like the size of a house.
California King.
It's crazy.
Good for Al Jefferson, man. Live your
Al Jefferson did that for a whole different reason, obviously. He probably has, like, five girls in his bed every night, so props to him.
You think he's Wilt? Come on, man.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah, nobody thinks Al Jefferson is Wilt. Let's slow down here.
Also, I just want to point out Lance Thomas just got signed by the Nets.
Yay. Oh, that's their three. That's the three subs. They signed Jamal Crawford, Michael Beasley, and Lance Thomas. Hooray.
They should have picked somebody more exciting than Lance Thomas.
Yeah, like Jeremy Lin.
Yeah. Jeremy Lin.
Or bring back somebody random, like, you know, Jalen Rose or something.
Oh, James White. Remember James White, the dunker?
Nah. Nah.
The dunker.
No, they should have actually signed Joe Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
Joe Johnson been killing it in TBT.
I like that. I like that.
Yeah. That would have been great. Joe Johnson, Jamal Crawford, and Michael Beasley on the same team? Oh, I know.
Anthony Randolph. Oh, that's who they should have brought back.
No.
Magic Randolph. I still believe.
No. No, 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 no.
That guy's a player, man. I'm telling you.
No. They already have enough turnovers. They don't need that.
Why not more?
You got Michael Beasley on the team.
Imagine a Beasley-Randolph front court. Man, that'd be exciting.
With Jarrett Allen, poor guy.
Still not going to play more than 24 minutes.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, man. All right, that's it. That's all the time we got for this week. I want to thank everyone for listening. Please remember to rate and subscribe on iTunes. We're on Spotify, Stitcher, Anchor, Google Play, all the major podcast platforms. You can hit us up on Twitter and Instagram at Stretch4Pod. And until next time, peace.